Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome to Party Friday, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we're going to jump straight to it, you know.
Right at to it.
You always think this time of year, nothing really happens. It's kind of boring, not a lot going on. Then, boom, Lauren Boebert throws some hand grenades around.
Girl.
Yeah, and it's not, I think, going as well as she expected. If you haven't, and if you want, I'll go ahead and bring you in now. I'm Ash App, Ash in America, who lives in CD4, on to talk about it.
I mean, you can see the confetti behind her celebrating.
Ash, hey, thank you for your time. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, guys. Super thrilled. Not at all thrilled. There's a lot to unpack about this and the CD4 race broadly, but thanks for having me.
Yes. Okay. So just in case people haven't heard, because I know people are actually busy celebrating and holidaying and things like this.
Hangovers, and
sleeping in. Lauren Boebert announced for the sake of America, she is not going to seek re-election in CD3, where she's facing a tough battle, obviously, from both the establishment candidate and then Adam Frisch, who's raised, I think she has 1.4 million on hand. He's got like 8.6 million. The Democrats have really targeted this. So thank God to save the citizens of Colorado and the free world.
She's leaving her ex-husband and taking her children down to Douglas County to live in CD4 sometime.
She will now seek the GOP nomination in CD4. Now, Dave Williams has expressed, which I think is the fact that he's expressing it publicly, I think shows that he is definitely not a fan, saying, okay, well, this maybe will cost us a seat in CD3, right? And could well cost us, I mean, something in CD4. We have plenty of great candidates there. He's like, why doesn't she stay and fight? You don't abandon your constituents like that. And I know that we've heard that, you know, phones of, how do I say it, leadership people on the Western Slope have been ringing off the hook with people saying, what the frick? Right. And then they feel abandoned. They're mad. But Ash, you're in CD4. Are the CD4 people thrilled about this?
Haven't heard anyone that's thrilled about this move. So CD4 is massive.
Yeah.
It's almost half the state. A very diverse, set of communities comprise CD4, from the Eastern Plains to, you know, Castle Rock and Douglas County. There's a lot of people here. We can't find a candidate. There's not a candidate that lives in CD4 that's better positioned to represent the voters here. But what I find most offensive about this is the entitlement.
Right.
Lauren Boebert feels entitled to a seat in Colorado, and she can't win her own seat, which I actually think that her withdrawing from CD3 makes it much more winnable for Republicans. But she can't win her own seat. So for the sake of America, she's going to come try to represent those of us in CD4. It feels ill-timed, but it really feels driven by entitlement. And I find that super gross.
Well, and it seems like my guess would be she did one of the criticisms she had. And I mean, I've been a Lauren Boebert supporter, although she's done some things we don't like. But I mean, her constituents complained she abandoned them there. I mean, I don't think represent anyone. She just wants to go to Congress.
Well, wait a minute, Julie. She said until she's ensconced in CD4 and becomes a representative, she'll be representing hard and fast CD3 people.
Two.
Just she's going to be representing CD3 people, which is going to be kind of strange because she's going to be the representative from CD3 until January 20th of 2025. And it's a long time, so spend all her time down in CD4 campaigning, I assume, while giving constituent services to everyone in CD3. Wow.
Well,
that won't be easy.
And Ash, you had a great tweet, and I saw that and immediately texted you and said, can you come on your show? So you because you pointed out, so she concedes, she doesn't think she can get enough people to vote for her in CD3 to win. And she's like, do you think the people in the voters in CD4 are more stupid or something that we're going to be bamboozled?
With lower standards.
Yeah, you guys have lower standards there. I mean,
well, it's insulting. I think everybody's recognized the people in the Eastern Plain have a certain affinity to female gropers. They've always known to be pro female gropers, and so she fits in well in the fourth congressional district.
You know, here's my what I thought too about it is I think on one hand you're right that it does make it a little bit more possible that a Republican can win in CD3. But the problem is what Republican, right? Lauren Boebert has been, for the most part, an America First, a MAGA kind of congresswoman, right? Not always. But the person who is running, who was now likely to be the Republican nominee, unless somebody else jumps in, is Jeff Hurd, who's an establishment rhino. So to me,
he's one of the most exciting corporate lawyers in America. I mean, if you seen his campaign, go to his website, pure energy, pure excitement. He's a serious candidate for serious people. He's kind of a Liz Cheney type, serious person for serious people.
What do you think of this? What Lauren Boebert's doing all the way around is letting the grassroots people who got her to the dance, she's letting them down.
Yeah, I think so. But I think what Lauren Boebert is doing all around is what's in the best interest of Lauren Boebert and not what's in the best interest of voters in CD3 or CD4.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, too. If I'm CD4, I mean, CD4 has a ton of candidates. We've got Jerry Sonnenberg, who's an establishment guy. We've got Ted Harvey, who's a grassroots
guy. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. You've got Trent Lisey, who's very much a MAGA guy. You've got Deborah Flora, I think, who's kind of somewhere in between. I mean,
And you got Richard Buckwheat Hortoff.
Right.
And so, you know, you're looking right there to,
I didn't know that Holtorf had entered the race.
Yes. Yeah. And so what's interesting to me about the race is obviously some of these candidates we like better than others. But if you're a voter in CD4, you've got some pretty decent choices out there and a wide range of choice. And for Lauren Boebert to say, I'm going to just drop myself in there, parachute in, to me, it's like, what about those other candidates, right? Who've been working hard, campaigning, raising money. It's like, well,
look, you know, once you leave your husband, you know, you think, what do those people matter? You know, I dump him, I'm going to dump you. It all works.
Well,
again,
I feel like she feels entitled to a seat and she doesn't think she can get the seat that she has. So she's going to try and take the CD4 seat. Look, there's a lot of candidates in this race and there's a lot of considerations, but I think CD4 is so big and we already have so many candidates to choose from. We don't need somebody else to move here to campaign here and take the seat. I also want to remind people of the 2022 primary process for the CD4 seat, right? Ken Buck was up for reelection, went to the caucus and assembly and was beat out by an unknown floor nomination in Bob Lewis.
And he barely made the ballot.
Right. The voters of CD4 are ready for change from the same old, same old. And like it or not, Lauren Boebert and Ken Buck are allies.
Yes.
They have been. A lot of ways I could speculate that there has been some, you know, canceling out of each other's votes on popular, or contentious, I should say, legislation in Washington, D.C. That'll be coming up in my next column in Glendale, Cherry Creek. But as we look at where are the voters versus where are the candidates that are being put before the voters, and, you know, where are we heading from a CD4 and from a Colorado Republican Party standpoint, there still is this divide between the America First faction, which I would argue is the largest portion of the Republican Party, and a lot of the middle unaffiliated voters like me that, you know, aren't in the party, are in the America First camp, and the establishment status quo, happy to be the minority party in the state Republican faction. And I think we have a good, in CD4 right now, we have a good view of both of those. Now, I did have the opportunity to talk to Deb Flora last night in a Twitter space, her and Trent Lisey both. And I asked her, you know, given what happened in 2022, you went straight through assembly, didn't petition on, and, you know, in her campaign for Senate, like every other Senate candidate that went through assembly, right, except for Ron Hanks, she didn't make the ballot. So I asked her if she was going to be going through just assembly this time, or if she was going to be petitioning on as well. She told me that she believes in assembly as the way to access the ballot, but you never know what's going to happen in that process. And it can get a little wonky. That's my word, not hers. So her campaign is still looking at whether or not to go both routes, to just pursue caucus and assembly, or to do both. She said they haven't made a decision yet.
Well, I'll give them a clue since they don't seem to know. They changed the rules so that if you don't go through assembly, the Republican Party can endorse and back the person who do go through the assembly. So it's a practical matter. Even if you're planning just to do one, you're going to do both. So, you know, I'll save him some.
Oh, you say you should do both, because if you don't.
Okay.
Even without the rule change, I think you should do both. We saw the clickers. We all lived through the 2022 clickers, right? Where it was, nobody knows who won. Nobody knows the totals of those races, because that was such an absolute disaster. The petition is the way that you back it up. I would love to go to a pure caucus process, right? But we're not there. And so until we're there, you've got to shore it up if you want to have a serious shot.
Well, it'd be curious to see. It would be very interesting to see, like, you know, you look at how Ken Buck did. And I think Lauren Boebert has not been winning herself a lot of friends these days.
Well, backing for Speaker of the House.
Right. And then voting for the FISA extension, all that kind of stuff. It'd be curious to see if she goes through the assembly process, you know, and what might happen there too. I just think, to me, it just is a grassroots person, an America First person. So Lauren Boebert, she should have stayed in CD3 and fought, right? And she should have gone back to the people who got her there in the first place, the principles, the things she stood for that got her there in the first place. And then we would have a grassroots, because I think she might have been able to win, right? Now, maybe. I'm guessing she probably has internal polling that made that not likely. But I mean, we would have had a grassroots candidate from CD3 for sure, and very possibly a grassroots candidate then come out of CD4. As it turns out now, who knows? We may lose the seat altogether in CD3. And I think it increases the likelihood that we get, you know, because the vote will be split, that we're going to get, you know, an establishment candidate out of CD4. So again, I go back to my thing. What she's really done here is screwed the grassroots, which is her base, really.
Yeah. I think so. The reaction to this announcement has been really, my reaction was immediate.
Right.
If you're running to be my congresswoman, you know, welcome to the party, because I'm going to be, you know, tough on every single person that's in this race. And I think that everybody, it's not just, you know, the journalism factor,
right?
It's
right.
Everybody should be vetting their own Congress people with the same level of rigor that a journalist would vet them with. They're going, you're paying their salary to go represent your interests in Washington, D.C. And I think part of the thing that's so frustrating, you know, for me anyway, is we get to the election year, and we revert back to, we've got to fill the seat with a warm body that has an R next to their
right
name.
Oh yeah, unity, you know, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
third, it's all unity now.
They tried to destroy Lauren Boebert. They're campaigning against her, and now, you know, they're going to tell us we all have to unify behind Jeff Hurd, right?
I have to little pushback, Ash, on you saying you heard nobody who was for Lauren Boebert moving to CD4. I was listening to Jimmy Sennenberger today on 710.
I don't listen to him, so I still didn't hear him.
Yeah, well, you know, he was filling in.
He did, because somebody texted us and said,
well, he was filling in for George Red Flag Rockler. And he attacked the Divine Rhino Watch, what I thought was great.
Rhino Watch CEO.
And he said, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. She'll only have to take a small percentage to get the necessary votes. And he was thrilled, which tells you that the Anschutz vote is very happy that Jeff Hurd is left on his own to be to the Anschutz representative if Lamborn isn't enough for Phil.
Well, and it's going to be, actually, tell me your thoughts. I would think, though, immediately, I mean, Lauren Boebert, again, compared to the Democrat and CD3, who has like $8.6 million on hand, Lauren has $1.4 million cash on hand, which I'm going to bet is perhaps more than all of the other candidates put together, cash on hand. So financially, she's going to jump to the top of the line. Name recognition, which might be a plus or a minus, depending, but she's got that. I would think she might become a front runner. But I don't know. There's a lot of time.
They're not going to do polls.
Depending on what metric.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to realize in CD4, since the Democrats are not going to have candidates that matter, all the unaffiliateds will vote in CD4. So who are they going to vote for? And that's really, you know, will they do a Lauren Boebert? Will they do a, I don't know, Trent Lysy? I mean, who it's in, and I want to recount my favorite fundraiser of all time. And I brought this up on the show. So Julie and I went to Ted Trimpa's house. Ted, the leading Democratic guy, Blueprint, Colorado. But his
partner, Raj.
His partner, Raj, who we liked a lot.
Produced on the Greg Gutfeld show.
He's on Gutfeld show now. Just a great guy. So he wanted to raise money for Lauren Boebert. So there, at that fundraiser, was, of course, Lauren Boebert. But also there was Ken Buck. And Ken Buck brought Liz Cheney. So I got to talk to Liz Cheney for about a half an hour. And Peter Boyles is there. And I kept on urging Peter to talk to Liz. I won't do it. I won't talk to Liz Cheney. I said, oh, come on, go do it. Be a man. But he wouldn't do it. But it was the most eclectic crowd for a fundraiser I ever saw. And also there was Ken Buck's new girlfriend.
Are you telling me that Liz Cheney was at a fundraiser for Lauren Boebert?
Yes.
Yep.
And so was Ted's aide de camp, a woman who was Ken Buck's girlfriend then. So it was one bizarre little fundraiser.
It was a lot of fun. But this is a lot, I think, about what happened. And Jim, we'll get to your comment here in a second, to Lauren Boebert, though, and her constituents. So we went to that fundraiser, and they were happy to have us, right?
They'll take our money, sure. Yeah,
then they took our money. Mm-hmm. And then when she was running for re-election, obviously we were on the list, we got invited to another fundraiser. And this one had like a $5,000 per person minimum before they would even tell you where it was. You had to give them a check. So for us, it would have been 10. She went within 2 years from being, I love everybody, I want to represent everybody, you know, I'm happy to come talk to you and meet you too. You don't even get in the door. I don't even tell you where the door is unless you give me $10,000. And it's kind of like, okay, needless to say,
we did not. What's wrong with politics?
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was just going to read Jim Jackson saying Lauren Boebert is the only Colorado candidate who embraces the MAGA agenda on the national stage. And that's true, Jim. That's absolutely true.
But she could do it from CD3.
She could do it from CD3.
And there are other candidates from CD4 who could do it.
Right. So we'd have two.
Yeah, we'd have two instead of Jeff Hurd, who's going to be, Doug Lamborn doubled or tripled. And the trouble is, once you give an Anschutz candidate a congressional seat, then they take all the money and they spend it against the grassroots in Colorado, because that's what they'll do. They'll absolutely spend all that. That's what Kaufman's people do. They just spend all the money to trash grassroots people in Colorado. So electing Jeff Hurd will, in fact, hurt Colorado. It may help nationally, but it'll hurt Colorado. So it's just amazing. I must admit, after Lauren Boebert got elected and we left under great circumstances at 7:10, you know, her staff would not return phone calls. It was just, they had radio silence. And when all of us who were behind the opt-out asked for her support, radio silence. So she's we've been supporters of her, but there are
limits.
With caveats. And one caveat is you stay where you're where you reside for her.
Right. So that's my, like, you know, soft pushback to the audience member is embraces the MAGA agenda. Sure, in rhetoric. But when it comes time to say, hey, we're going to close the primary and I'm going to stand on this and say that Republican voters in Colorado actually get to vote for Republican candidates, radio silence. When it comes time to have, you know, to stand up with Tina Peters or to stand up for election integrity, radio silence.
Yes.
Right. And so there's, you know, the rhetoric is great, right? I mean, she's a little shrill for me, but the rhetoric for, you know, gun on the hip, She's adorable on the stage. It's, you know, it's great optics. There's great marketing potential there.
Yes.
But we've now seen her for two terms in office, term and a half in office. And I'm not particularly impressed. I don't see strong policies, prescriptions. I don't see America First Coloradans having their interests represented.
Well, and she's not helping them. Right.
Right.
It's just sort of on. Well, here's the thing, too, that I'm just going to bring up. It's like, you know, we laugh because our friend Ted Trimple, who's a Democrat sort of Soros strategist, every time like something will come up and it's like a Republican idea and Ted's like, oh, that's a good idea. We're like, OK, bad idea. That's a bad idea. Right. So now Jimmy Sangenberger and the Antudes establishment Rhino crowd hate Lauren Boebert. Right. So all of a sudden, now that Lauren Boebert isn't running in CD3, but she's running in CD4, they love her. I mean, that makes me suspicious. And that makes me wonder two things. Is there a deal being made someplace? You give us a Rhino in CD3. You promise to be a Rhino in CD4 and we'll bring you in. Or do they have a secret plan to turn around and trash her in CD4 as well and put all of their money behind, say, a Jerry Sonnenberg or whoever?
Deborah Flora,
whoever.
What did you think after the tweeting?
Well, what do you think of that? I mean, Jimmy Sangenberger, this is maybe, well, I'm just going to say it. If he's for it, that means that I'm probably against it, right? And so all of a sudden now they love Lauren Boebert, and I just would, if I were as a voter in CD4, I'd be asking myself, why do all these people who've hated her for years suddenly love her, right? I'd just be suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm naturally suspicious and skeptical of anything that the parties are doing, and I think there's always a deal.
Yeah,
particularly in Colorado local politics, there's always a deal. And so that wouldn't surprise me at all. But Chuck, what did you ask me about Deb?
Well, we knew Deb over at 710. And she's always pleasant, nice, likable. Mm-hmm. Her husband's a super great guy. But what her politics are, it's been always a little vague to me. And I wonder what your reaction after being on the Twitter one was.
Yeah, so I asked her about her policies. I asked her what she thought the most important policies were to CD4 voters. She has great message. So first of all, I think she has a very impressive background.
Yes.
So for the, you know, if you're not all wrapped up in, you know, the nuance and the, you know, like we are, and you're just looking from a, you know, you're just kind of looking black and white on paper about these candidates, I think she's one of the most impressive in the field. I also thought she was impressive when she ran for Senate. She is a little vague on the details, right, Chuck, like you said. And so pressed on that, a lot about, schools and education and bringing school boards back to the kids. That's a big passion area for hers.
Right.
Where she got tripped up was when she was asked about January 6th. And fighting for January 6ers, not a strong answer at all. I don't even remember what she said because it was kind of, she was walking out the door of the Twitter space. It was the last thing she was asked, and quick answer, not a lot of substance. The other thing that was really interesting was I live in CD4. I'm here fighting for CD4. As she was walking out the door, she mentioned school boards again and mentioned her kids in the Cherry Creek School District, which I think is in CD6. So
I'm not sure how far it extends. So
that was something that was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know what school her kids went to. I would never say what school her kids went to. It's just something that was like, oh, that's interesting. And, you know, people have homes all over the place and, you know, can be in different places at once. And I would never demonize any parent for sending their kids to any school they wanted to. So
because they have it in Glendale, you also can live outside of the Cherry Creek School District and get into the Cherry Creek School District.
Oh, sure.
A lot of kids do. But that is a talking point that the other candidates ought to talk up a lot, that our kids go to the Cherry Creek schools. Because I spent an entire summer trying to rally everyone along with a great crew of people. We were on the road all the time at the best time ever, kind of road warriors. For the opt-out, talking to all the county heads all the way through eastern Colorado. And, you know, I've never had any reason to be in eastern Colorado and going to Kansas or going back east or something. And it's like the Depression. It's like 1930s. It is an incredibly depressed place. And those voters hate Denver, and they hate anything close to Denver. So if Deborah Flora thinks she's going to wow them with her glam, on everything else, she's going to get a huge shock. And the fact that her kids go to Cherry Creek Schools, that'll help in that part of Douglas County and Castle Rock. But all the rest of the county, those people, they'll hate her, and they hate with a kind of depression era hate, because the only positive business in Eastern Colorado these days is selling pot to Kansas people who go across the border. That's the one growth industry in the entire eastern half of the state.
Well, I think it's a great point. And look, I don't, if she, you know, made a decision to send her kids to a school outside of the district, I don't begrudge anybody that. I believe in school choice. I believe you can place your kids wherever you want. I'll also say, you guys know me, I don't endorse candidates, but I'll tell you, based on the field right now and the credentials of the, you know, the people in the race and what I've heard so far, she's in my top two. And so, you know, I do find her to be an impressive candidate. I do think that she has most of the America First messaging down. Some pretty big things that are missing, though.
Oh, she does not have most of the America First. She's very strong in education.
Strong in immigration.
Strong in immigration. But boy, I can tell you, she is not a MAGA person. And that she's on your top two is a little shocking, because to me, the top two who are MAGA people and are clearly MAGA people are Ted Harvey and Trent Lisey. Those are true MAGA people. Some of the rest of them, Jerry Sonnenberg, Buckwheat, Deborah, they're tweeners. They're tweeners.
Well, I would put her a tweener. The others are. Well, either way. But I think
all right. So top three, then I'll say, and I'll tell you what I like, Chuck. I like that she understands bureaucracy and she has a message towards dismantling it. That to me is a very positive, that's what we need. It's what we need. In DC. And nobody else is talking about that. That's very important to me.
What bureaucracy is she going to get rid of as a congresswoman?
Well,
not funding them. I mean, I've heard her talk too. She talks about, you know, cutting the funding. But hey, listen, I want to, because I don't want to get bogged down in it.
I do. Well, let's ask some more questions there.
Text me, Chuck. We can keep arguing.
Here's the thing. All of this goes to the point in CD4, there are plenty of candidates to choose from a wide. It's not like, you know, you have all just MAGA, you have all just establishment. There is a wide range of candidates to choose from. And so why Lauren Boebert decides to abandon CD3, which needs her to inject herself into this race where she's not needed, as you said, admittedly, just so she can get elected. I just kind of say, I kind of hope the voters of CD4 are kind of like you. It's like, what, do you think we have lower standards? We don't, you know?
I think most of the voters are. It's where that's the overwhelming sentiment. Can I address one thing to Jacob in the chat? He says, as I emailed yesterday, I think Griswold changed her mind and put Trump back on the ballot because Griswold is afraid that voters will find that she has malice against Trump and will be sued after she leaves office. This is a bit of theater that's going around that I think is really interesting. The deadline to finalize the ballot is today, December 29th. It's always been today, December 29th. It's been today since she published the calendar a year ago. And it was, I've been reporting that she had to make a decision about the ballot by today, since, you know, November, when this case was getting started. There's now this theater that she somehow changed her mind because the Supreme Court stayed the ruling until January 4th and her deadline is today. She would actually be in violation of a court order if she didn't put Trump on the ballot.
That's my understanding too. She didn't have any choice about it because she's certainly gone around on MSNBC trashing it. And we're going to talk about this when we're done because, you know, again, I mean, people know, we support Dave Williams, but what a brilliant move it turns out to be on his part to appeal it, right? Because that gave the Trump people time. Yeah. And since he appealed it, that's why she had no choice, you know, but to put her on the ballot. And like you said, she'd be in violation of a court order. Apparently that doesn't bother secretaries of state that much anymore, but still.
Right. And then he asked, how about Maine? I do think that Maine is way far out of bounds. But what I like about Maine is that it pressures the Supreme Court to deal with the question of insurrection. It is all about the question of insurrection. And now that the Maine Secretary of State has taken unilateral decision based on that finding of insurrection, it puts more pressure on the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, to actually deal with that. And I like that.
What would give Supreme Court the greatest thrill for them is for some Republican state to throw Biden off. Then they get to show. Then they get to show. No, We're not pro-Trump. We're not pro-Biden. Honestly, that's the best thing.
That Texas does it, right? Yeah. Because well, then we'll the Supreme Court just say, oh, not just Trump supporters.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a tough time getting through the Texas House. But as a practical matter, the best thing could happen for the Supreme Court, as far as their own prestige, is for Biden to be thrown off and for them to say, no, no, no.
You can't just be willy-nilly throwing candidates off the ballot.
We're not pro-Trump. We're not pro-Biden. We're pro-America.
We're pro-America. Hey, Ash, listen, well, we'll let you go. Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say the question before the Supreme Court is the question of the 14th Amendment, but it is also the findings of insurrection that have stood now from the trial court and through the Colorado Supreme Court. The record of the land in Colorado through the highest court in our state is that Trump committed an insurrection. And that is now being used as, you know, as a basis for states like Maine. And so that has to be dealt with. The 14th Amendment question also impacts a lot more than President Trump, as we've talked about before, impacts anybody that swore an oath. If the finding of insurrection is allowed to stand without that, the due process of that, but allowed to stand based on the political work product of the January 6th committee, we're in a lot of trouble in this country. And a lot of people that swore an oath that went to January 6th and anything else they call insurrection going forward are going to have their rights limited.
Well, you know, the courts can find whatever they want to on whatever grounds. One easy ground would be the 14th Amendment isn't self-executing. Only Congress can do it. Then you don't have to touch anything else. Because if Congress does it, then all these other people who want to throw people off the ballot couldn't do it either.
Our hearts broken by Supreme Courts.
But so just to say, you know, this is not a self-effectuating statute. Only Congress can enforce it. That would get rid of all the problems. They won't have to find whether he's interaction or not.
We'll see. Hey, listen, Ash, we will let you go. Thank you for your time. Oh, we got dogs barking. Happy New Year to you.
Saying bye to you.
Happy New Year. Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys, so much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Ash App, Ash in America there. Check her out on Substack. And Jacob is saying, Ash, I like guests who respond to me. Okay, so we've got a ton of stuff here. We're going to get into the main, because Jim Jackson is making points. And Jim is saying, Boebert was on Bannon this morning saying, shut the government down to stop aid to Ukraine, not closing the border. Who else has done that? No continuing resolution. And I agree with you, Jim. I'm just saying she should be doing that in CD3, right? The congressional, she should be staying and fighting for her spot in CD3, which I think she could win. And because we need her there, right? And then let's get somebody else in CD4.
Ted Harvey, Trent Lisey, they'd have the exact same opinion.
Exactly. And so we could have two grassroots candidates. And I think Lauren's just like, hey, look, you know, I just want to take the easy way out, so I'm going to run in CD4. Whether it works or not remains to be seen. Now, I want to talk about the main thing and what's going on. And again, in case you missed it, so Donald Trump is back on the ballot. And Jacob, I think the reason is, as Ash explained, he's back on the ballot because Dave Williams and the Colorado Republican Party entered the case way back when saying that, hey, look, they're taking, away Colorado's right to vote. So they're a party to the case, right? Yes. And so they filed an appeal. The Trump campaign has yet to file an appeal, but today was sort of Jenna Griswold's deadline. And so by Williams entering the case and filing that appeal.
Absolutely correct. The way the ruling from the Colorado Supreme Court was, he's on the ballot. As long as an appeal is filed, he is on the ballot until a decision is made by her. So if Jenna Griswold want to just throw him off, notwithstanding a court order telling him to leave him on the ballot, you know, it took no courage, no anything. I mean,
she could still go trash him. Yeah. And I mean, and it's not just a district court order, it's a Colorado Supreme Court order. That would be,
she gets zero credit.
No, but what it does do, as Ash said, is having found that there was an insurrection, everyone else can use it. But Dave was on and he did a great job. So I want to play some sound here. Dave Williams is on Fox and Friends this morning, bright and early, explaining this whole thing. And again, I think it just underscores, once again, when you have some grassroots leadership, because have no doubt, Christy Burton Brown and the establishment people would have not entered in this race, right? They'd be happy to have Trump off the ballot. And so it is with the growing grassroots influence that is making a difference. So if we could please play Thomas the Dave Williams soundbite.
It's absolutely hypocrisy, but I also think it's an act of desperation. I think they're afraid that Donald Trump is going to win against Joe Biden. So by hook or by crook, they're doing whatever they can to stop him. That's why I'm encouraging everyone, visit our website and help us join the fight. It's COLOGOP.org. You'll get more information, and you can help us be on the front lines protecting your right across the country to support Donald Trump.
So understanding the timeline here, the ballots are printed here the first week of January, and you said they go out in February for the primary. If sometime between Donald Trump staying on the ballot and being printed and the primary itself, if for some reason the Supreme Court takes this up and upholds the Colorado Supreme Court's decision, where does that leave your party going into an election cycle? And also, do you support Vivek Ramaswamy and some of the others, or calling on the others to take themselves off the ballot if Donald Trump isn't on it?
Yeah, I think what Vivek is doing is commendable. I think all candidates should band together because this is bigger than Donald Trump. This is about our right to vote and choose the candidates we want. If the Supreme Court upholds this, I think it's a constitutional crisis in the making. It's going to create chaos all over the country. But what we would do if they uphold it is we're going to go ahead and pivot away from a presidential primary and go to a caucus system so that we can still nominate the candidate that we want to nominate.
Well, I'm sure you had no idea that you would be spending the week between Christmas and New Year's appealing to the Supreme Court, but that's where we find ourselves today. Dave Williams, thank you so much for joining us.
And then after that, you get a call from Donald Trump. President Trump called. We didn't talk to, he didn't call us to tell us what he said, but
I mean, Dave is doing so good. I mean, when did you ever hear any of KBB on national television? Maybe she made it once. But Dave is doing just fantastic. And I love how he got to, hey, give us some money.
That's right. And Charlene is saying, Dave Williams is a man. I'm glad I donated to the effort. We do too. And let's go back up here from Charlene. They're just throwing mud at the wall. It seems the Matrix media is creating a full fake reality out of desperation. And from Jacob Buckleby on MSNBC, Charlene wondering if Boebert upset the remaining Koch brother. That's hard to tell. And then Jacob, bet you if SCOTUS rules not in favor of Trump, then Griswold will change the ballot after the deadline. I'm not sure what all can go. I know Charlene says Trump can call.
You can do the same thing as they do when people are dead. They kind of go, okay, the ballot's printed, but we don't count your votes.
If we do that, what they'll do is they'll just send it to the Democrats and then they'll vote.
Oh, they'll just say it doesn't count.
But what they did in Maine is really atrocious. So in Maine, the Secretary of State, who is not elected the way they are in Colorado, right? It's essentially appointed by the legislature. So the legislature votes, but it's just the legislature votes. And so she's a Democrat. And this is why George Soros is funding all of these kind of positions. I mean, you know, you're like, why does George Soros? He doesn't even enter in the presidential race because he can do this kind of stuff.
Damage,
to keep people from even getting on the ballot in the first place. So the Secretary of State of Maine, Sheena Bellows, and I'm just going to say something, and this is catty, but have you noticed all of these very liberal secretaries of state are these kind of wide-eyed, bad haircut, middle-aged women?
They always part their hair in the middle. If you see somebody with the hair part in the middle. I mean, yours not in the middle. It's that official, you know, lib cut in the middle thing. I'm sure there's some hairstyles that are cut in the middle that look great, but there's somehow
bad hair.
And Karen hairstyle.
If you were to say which one of these are Karens and which are Secretary of State, it would all be the same. That's just an aside. But so
it's a really important point for all of you.
So you could tell, don't vote for somebody. She unilaterally, on her own, decided that there was an insurrection, and she, on her own, just one person, and then an unelected person, ruled that Donald Trump cannot be on the ballot
if you read
Maine.
It's 15 pages or something. But she says, this is not a court of law. This is an Administrative Procedures Act, APA, and therefore I don't have to do rules of evidence. I don't do anything else. I can accept the January 6th report or anything else I want.
I can just say it. Yeah. Well, and even CNN had to admit that, like, this was based on nothing. Thomas, if we could, this is a CNN legal analyst talking about the decision. If you could please play the CNN soundbite.
Were the processes, were these hearings fair? Did they comport with due process? And I think there's a question there with regard to what Maine did, because if you look at the hearing, and she details this in the ruling, they heard from one fact witness, a law professor. She based her ruling on a lot of documents, but also YouTube clips, news reports, things that would never pass the bar in normal court. She's not a lawyer, by the way. It's a smartly written decision, clearly consulted with lawyers, but this is an unelected. She's chosen by the state legislature.
She's elected by the state
legislature. Chosen, elected by the legislature, but not democratically elected. Not a knock. That's just the way it's set up in Maine. And this hearing, look, it doesn't have to be a criminal trial. We don't have to have all the protections. But I think the argument you'll hear from opponents is, one, not up to the states to do this. This is why we have all different decisions from all different states. And two, the procedures were not up to snuff.
Yeah, to say the least. It's like, so she was looking at her son's TikTok video and there they said, I mean, that's, it's just ridiculous, but it is as ridiculous as it is even more alarming that this is, and make no mistake, this is an orchestrated effort by these lawfare organizations. When you look at the funding of CREW, the people who filed the complaint.
Well, the people who are suing Ash Epp.
Right, exactly. I mean, it is all well-funded Democrat operatives, and they know they can't beat Donald Trump at the election in a fair and free election. So they're trying to do everything they can to keep him off the ballot. And they don't even care anymore that it's violating everybody's rights, right? They don't, I mean, so you have one person in Maine based on basically nothing say, I've determined that Donald Trump can't be on the ballot. I'm saying, I hope they do this in Texas. I hope they, you know, that they take Joe Biden off the ballot because Republicans have to quit playing by the rules that are outdated. No one is playing by those rules anymore, right? The Democrats aren't. So
they never did, too.
Well, but they're not even pretending now, right?
They used to pretend.
They're not. I mean, if I were a red state Secretary of State, I would be like, I myself have determined that Joe Biden committed treason by having opened the border.
Which is a lot more of a realistic truth.
Right. Which,
so what's your proof? I just turned it on the TV.
But here's my prediction. They won't.
No, of course not. They're always, you know.
Well, and keep in mind, because many of them in power dislike Donald Trump as much as the Democrats do, maybe even more.
Well, Democrats, and they have always in Colorado, the Colorado Secretaries of State, which were the only elected Secretaries of State from, 1959 up to 2019. And they were all, you know.
Republicans,
and they were all kind of establishment rhinos.
We have the gold standard, Chuck. That's right. You're at the gold standard. Yeah. But Tulsi Gabbard did a good job addressing this. If we could please play the Tulsi Gabbard soundbite.
I think it's really important, Pete, for every single American who's seeing this news alert popping up to recognize how dangerous this is. You have a Secretary of State who is a known partisan, who is known to be against Trump. She supported the impeachment of Trump, single-handedly making this decision to say the former president cannot be on the ballot, taking away our right as voters in this country to decide who we want to serve as our next president and commander in chief. You take away the party labels, you take away the names of Trump versus Biden. Recognize how dangerous this is, where if this is allowed to stand, one person gets to take away the voices and the rights of every single American to engage in our democratic process. That is literally what is at stake here. So whether people like Trump or don't like Trump, or like Biden, don't like Biden, that's not the point here. If you're a Democrat or Republican, now is the time that we as Americans must stand up for our democratic process in this country and our right and our voices to decide our future.
I wish Tulsi Gabbard had a sense of humor. I've never seen her crack a smile.
But she's right, though.
No, she's very good. She's attractive. She's intelligent. But she is humorless. I mean, she is humorless.
Right. And then from Charlene, Jenna Ellis shaming the conservative women's calendar, LOL. And let's see. Oh, so this is from Jacob, that Congressman Jordan subpoenas Soros and asks Soros, why are you trying to get Trump off the ballot?
They should.
Yeah, when Jordan threatened Soros with a subpoena earlier, the Clarence Thomas investigation was dropped. Oh, that's an interesting idea. The Hunter Biden thing is going to get worse. But I think this is their battle plan, right? It's strategic on all fronts. They're fighting him in criminal court cases that they know they can in New York and places like that, right? They're
civil
cases, yeah, over completely stupid stuff.
Washington, D.C., Florida, Atlanta.
There is a hope, I think, that if they could get him convicted on one thing, that might just turn enough people off.
Right.
Or it would give more secretaries of state more ammunition.
Yeah, he's
right?
A convicted felon. We can't have that.
He's a convicted whatever. In the meantime, again, the Republicans and the red states have to fight back. I mean, it's not coincidence that this happened in Colorado. It's not coincidence that this happened in Maine. They weren't just sitting there over coffee one day and the Maine Secretary of State said, I think I could do that too. No, this is planned. And the Republicans, and again, what we're facing is, as Ash said, there is that ongoing divide between the grassroots, the populist, the America First wing, and then the establishment rhino wing. And the problem is too many of those in power on the Republican side dislike Trump just as much.
I do have to amend my thing, because Leo has said he's going to look out for women with their hair parted. It's the it is to get it down a little closer. It's women in the part of the middle of the head, and then it's flat. It's got to be flat. You know, it's not. It can't be. You got hair, and then you got lots of that. It's that flat look that tells you you're a Karen.
And then, Jacob had sent me, and I didn't have time to listen to all Jacob, but Jesse, in the Fracco story from Jesse Kelly, Jesse mentioned that even back then the communists stuffed the ballot box. Yeah, well, the Democrats have taken that to new heights. I will say that. So it's going to be. I mean, we thought it was going to be a boring week between. You know, who knows? But you know, and sooner or later.
Well, now we got the new year coming up Tuesday.
This was my idea.
This is your idea. Personal idea. Comes from the brain.
That Texas needs to kick Biden off the ballot because then that's a great point.
In fact, that would take a lot. So they need some Secretary of State somewhere that says, oh, yeah, I throw Biden.
Right. And just do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Don't go to the legislature, the governor.
A hearing. One day. That's what Bain did, right?
She had it one day.
All right.
She heard a law professor on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so you could, or just watch some YouTube clips for Pete's sake. You could do that, you know, I don't know, while you're getting ready in the morning.
Yeah,
why not? And say, I heard the evidence while I was getting dressed this morning on YouTube.
That's one thing that would give the Supreme Court the greatest cover, if you want that. Ruling for Trump.
Yes. Oh, and then Charlene says, yes, they do have a certain look. They do. You can, well, look at the judge in the Denver case, right? You're like, all right. Hey, it be
you're censoring yourself. Shut up, Julie.
Well, I don't like when women attack other women, but still.
But you can attack men with free.
Please.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Videotape it being Party Friday. You know, one of the things that's interesting, I did see a statistic that there are more since August, there have been more illegal immigrants entering the country than babies born to American mothers.
I'm sure.
You know, and that's because one of the things I always do.
And half of those are illegals anyway. Not,
yeah, really. Yeah, you have to count. And the reason is one of the things the left also wants to do is destroy the American family because it's one of the things that makes this country great.
Right.
And as we've talked about before, and you particularly, one of the things that they attack is fatherhood. And so I found this video. I don't have the whole. I didn't play the whole thing, but part of it. Just since it's Party Friday, a dad's life. This is a dad's life video. It's gonna go viral. It's a song. So Thomas, if we could please play the dad's life video.
Check me. Still rocking the docks, tall socks and Crocs. Got some gray in the go, call me Silver Fox. Got that ornamental turtle, steaks on the rubber. 10 years later, looking better than ever. I'm a middle class hustler. When it comes to saving money, I'm a buster. Keeping on a grip on that thermostat. AC, when we leave the house, I'ma crank it up to 80. I don't spend a dime on those name brands. Spent the last 10 years in the same pants. Got that meal plan. You know I'm saving the bunch. Brown bagging for the fam every day for lunch.
Eat up.
I turn a honey-do list into honey done. I can flip a half bath in a half day, son. I'm in the zone. I'm on my grind. And I only had to use YouTube 4 times.
Dad life, button down, plaid life. What you know about that burger flipping dad life? Telling jokes, Diet Cokes. It ain't a bad life. It's a dad life.
There you go. And then they had you check. You didn't like it. You didn't like that
it
much.
It's not funny. That's the problem.
It's funny.
It wasn't funny. That's the problem. They make being a dad in America, and they have made it this way since the 1950s, as a very bland, awful life. And they're doing that to both men and women, so they don't ever get married. You don't look at that and go, oh, I want to be a dad.
So I think, though, it's their... showing dads have a sense of humor. Maybe, okay, I'll try better next time. Sorry, Chuck, we'll run that. Finally, before we wrap up, we've got, I think Jacob has put a link, the Jesse Kelly Show, Unfiltered and Unapologetic. There's all kinds of stuff that he's got. I think, okay, he's just telling everybody the link. The above is a link, but I think the chat editor, I don't know. Okay, anyway, so let me just repeat it. I apologize. The Jesse Kelly Show, Unfiltered and Unapologetic. We'll check it out. I got to admit, I have never listened to it. So we'll check it out.
I assume it's a podcast and probably a good one.
Yep. And a programming note, we are taking Monday off. So we'll
Along with you.
So this will be, we'll replay the show. You can catch all our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Want to say thank you to everybody on Zoom. 2023 has been a great year. It's been a really good year for us in a lot of ways too. And thank
you.
Yes, it has, Chuck.
Dying of heart medication, can barely stand.
Except for that.
All kinds of ailments. It's been a great year.
It's been a great year. And I want to thank everybody out there for it, especially the guys at BBS Radio, Thomas and all of them. They are one of the places that you can just count on to not censor things and to, to keep free speech.
We're so glad we signed on. We have to thank
Thomas and Karen Cataline, who told us about it. So, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye bye.
As Rev and his friends say, we'll see you next year. Bye, everybody.
Have fun, as Julie will say.